Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning that we come here and worship you, praise you, glorify you. I pray that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit reigns in this place, that you give us understanding and wisdom for what's going to be said. I pray that in difficult times, God, that we remember who you are, that you are our King and our Lord and our wonderful Savior. We thank you for all these things that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. How easy do you give up? When circumstances happen in your life, the bad things, how easy is it for you to just give up? There are too many Christians that live in the world today that throw in the towel. Too easy does the Christian, the believer, throw in the towel because they've forgotten who their God is. Their wonderful Savior, the Savior who died on the cross for them. I pray that you stand firm in the faith. You keep the faith. That you run the race with endurance and you keep the faith. See, so many times life becomes difficult, whether that's in testing or whether that's Satan trying to devour each and every one of us. So I pray that you resist, stand firm, and keep the faith, even if. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Let's stop there. Humble yourselves. If you want to keep the faith in your Christian walk, it starts with this very thing right here. Humble yourselves. See, just the verse before it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves. Understand that God is God in your life. Understand he's the one who needs to be in charge. He's the one who needs to take the reins. He's the one to guide and lead you in your Christian walk. That race that you run, he's the one you're running behind. He's the one showing you the path on which you are to run. So I pray you humble yourselves and know who God is. Therefore, under God's mighty hand, his mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. This is one of the biggest struggles for Christians. It's actually something we learned about in Sunday school. He will lift you up in due time. We don't like the due time, right? We don't like the due time. We want our time. We want to be lifted up now. We don't want to have to endure the hardship, the testing, the temptations, the struggles of life. We want to be lifted up now. Can I say that due time may come when you reach heaven? It will come when you reach heaven. You might have struggles through your whole life. It sounds bad, but can I tell you they're only momentary. They're just momentary. They're light, momentary troubles. As Paul tells the Corinthians, light and momentary. I pray that we fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. That perfecter of our faith. See, that due time is a huge struggle for believers today. It can be the thing that decides whether or not they're willing to do what God has called them to do or willing to not do what God's called them to do. In due time. The second thing here that so many Christians struggle with, we read it almost all the time. We see it posted all the time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Can I tell you this morning? That verse is not only to be read but applied. That verse is to be applied because God cares for you and God knows that your anxieties, and your cares, your worries in life can hold you down. And our God loves us so much, He's willing to take on your anxiety. He's willing to take on your cares. He's willing to nail them to the cross so that you may endure hardships, so that sufferings in life may be light and momentary, that they're not fixated on. Casting our cares on Him because He cares for us. So humble yourselves, be patient, and trust God. Trust Him with your life, your whole life. Every aspect of your life you need to trust Him with. Your children, your money, and your time have to be entrusted to God, because He cares for you and He is your leader. The perfect, perfect leader. The one you know without a doubt, who's not going to lead you astray, but lead you where He's called you. So in all this, act in obedience. That's a scary word. Obedience. God's obedience. God's perfect will in your life. So act in obedience, because you know that if you abide in His will, that perfect, pleasing will of God, that you're where you're supposed to be. That you know that you're running with endurance that race, and you're keeping the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. These three things: to humble yourselves, to act patiently, and to trust Him. These are essential pieces to keeping the faith. To keeping the faith. So to keep the faith in any circumstance that we face. Any circumstance that we face. So that you can say, even if. Well, what do I mean when I say, even if? I mean you can say, even if I lose my job, I will trust Him. I will keep the faith. Even if I lose a loved one, I will keep the faith. Even if I'm struggling with temptation, I can keep the faith. Keep the faith. Well, how do we do this? How do we keep it? We do these three things, but most importantly, we keep our eyes fixated on Jesus Christ. Fixated. Not wavering, not looking left or right, but directly on your Savior. Your wonderful Savior. The one who paid it all so that you may be able to walk in faith. Walk in a way that you are ambassadors for His word. Well, why does this matter? Why does it really matter if I keep the faith? Well, for one, it's beneficial for you and for others. But what's it say here in verse 8? It says, be alert of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil is prowling around, looking, seeking, lurking around, seeking whom he may devour. Do you understand today that you fall into that category? He is looking for the Christian who is keeping the faith, looking and hoping that he may devour you. Do you understand today that you have the power to resist him? But it's not by your own power, but the power that God has given you through his Holy Spirit. That power to resist him. What's it say? It says, looking, roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him, standing firm. Standing firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Now, why would Peter throw that in there? why couldn't he just end it standing firm in the faith and then stop there? Why would he tell the believers that the same family of believers is undergoing the same sufferings? Meaning, you are not the only one going through this. You are not the only ones going through the sufferings that you're going through. Many, many people undergo the same persecution that you do as well, or the same sufferings in life that you do as well. See, the people here that Peter's talking to were undergoing immense amount of persecution. Some of the stuff we cannot even imagine. But Peter here is telling them to keep the faith and stand firm. Not wavering, right? Not shaking, but standing firm. It's a powerful word. Standing firm. Whether the timing may not be what we want, can I tell you that it is for the good that you suffer for Christ's sake? For the name of Christ, it is good to suffer. If you read I encourage you to read 1 Peter, because it's all about suffering. It's all about those sufferings and how to endure them. How to keep the race, keep going, persevering. That's what James tells us. Consider pure joy, brothers and sisters, that you may endure many trials, because those produce perseverance. Those sufferings, those trials, those hard times in your life produces perseverance. So why? So you can keep going. So when the next struggle comes, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, because it's not of if, it's when. When those sufferings come, I can say, I'm keeping the faith. I'm standing firm. Standing firm where? Because that is important. Standing firm on the foundation of Christ. The unshakable foundation. You know your God is unshakable. He is unshakable. There is no thing, there is no devil that can shake our God. He has won the victory. You have won the victory if you're a believer this morning. It has already been won. So I pray that you are unwavering in your faith. That when Jimmy talks about you don't backslide. You don't go back to your old way of life. But because God has made you new. You have been made new, so I pray that you act new. You act new in accordance to whatever God has for you. God's will in your life. Verse 10. And the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while Himself restore you, and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. It is only by God that you can stand firm. It is only by God that you can have strength, that you can be strong. And it's only by God that you can be steadfast. And if you're like me, when I first read the word steadfast, I had no idea what it meant. So if you are here today and you don't know what steadfast, it's unwavering. You're immovable. We need more Christians that are immovable. Amen. That are firm, strong, by not their own power, but the power of Christ within them. Could you imagine even just a church filled with people who are strong, firm, and steadfast? Could you imagine what God could accomplish? What glory God could get from it? Because that's what it's all about. For God's glory. To Him be the glory. We don't need the glory. We don't deserve the glory. God has shown us so much grace. Grace that we didn't deserve. This is the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory. Can I tell you that there is no way to his eternal glory except what follows after in Christ? From Christ. You can only get this eternal glory through Christ. In Christ. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. Restore you. God has the power to restore you this morning. If you are a person broken, if you are broken here this morning, God has the power to restore you, to make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You only have to be willing. That's as simple as it has to be. You only have to be willing to be restored, because God can restore you. See, we serve a God who is immovable, unchangeable. And I thank him every day that he is those things. That he is unchangeable. That there's nothing I can do that changes the character of God. Why? Because I can rely on him. If he says he'll restore me, he will restore me. If he says he'll remain faithful to me, he'll remain faithful. If he says he loves you, he means he loves you. There's no ifs, there's no buts. He loves you. God's demonstrated that. That's out of the question. God loves us. God wants each and every one of us here today to be those three things. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Those three things are not easy. Humbling yourselves, being patient, trusting God, being strong, firm in your faith. Those things take work. Work. Galatians 6:9 says this. Says, do not give up doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. If you do not give up. So if you're waiting for the harvest, if you're waiting for the proper time, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. I pray that this message is an encouragement to you. An encouragement to press on. Because I can only bet, through God's word, that life will just get rougher. It will get bumpy. It will get shaky. Things will happen in your life. That the devil will want you to be wavering. He'll want you to be weak. He'll want you not to stand firm. Why? So he can devour your life. Devour it to pieces. What does it say? Like a lion. Who do lions go after the first? The weakest. The devil is looking for the wavering Christian. The wavering Christian. I pray that we have a faith that's unwavering. Just like Peter in the boat. When he asked Jesus to walk on the water, and Jesus tells him to come, and he's walking on the water, what is he doing? His eyes are fixated on Christ, fixated on him. And when the storms of the ocean, or I could say the storms of life, we can easily lose track of who we're supposed to focus on. Life can take your eyes off Christ. So I pray this, that you pray, God, examine my faith. Examine me in a way that I may be aware of my temptations. Be aware of my struggles. Be aware of my sufferings. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Why should we be alert? Because He is always lurking. The devil is always lurking. There's no downtime. But always be alert. Always be of sober mind. Always be reading your word. Always be praying. Always be praising. Praising God. Your praises are more powerful than you can imagine. Not only are your prayers, but your praises. Never forget what God has done for each and every one of you. Because those things, remembering how God's been faithful to you, can motivate you to be faithful to God. It's the same things that he told his chosen people, the Israelites. What have I done for you? Didn't I bring you out of Egypt? Didn't I give you manna in the wilderness? Didn't I do this and this and this? And the list goes on and on. And if you think in your own life, you could do the same. Because the list goes on and on and on. Because he's always been faithful. Always been faithful. Why do I keep saying that? Because too many of us question his faithfulness this morning. There's too many believers questioning God's faithfulness. Can I tell you another thing? Sin will hold you back from having a sober mind. The sin in your life must be taken care of. Because you can never be alert and you can never be of sober mind if you have sin in your life. If you are convicted this morning, I pray that you ask God to take it away. That you cast it on him. Because it says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And all of your unrighteousness. That applies to every single one of us in this room. Every single one of us in God's house this morning. See, so when it seems like your life is turned upside down. And there's no way out. And there's no way out. I pray that you think back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. See, Joshua, Moses had just passed away. Joshua's going to take the reins. Could you imagine how scary that is? For just a minute, having that many people that look up to you, that you are responsible for, that you have to lead and guide and in the ways of not your own, but God's ways. I can only imagine why God would have said this to Joshua. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because God, your Savior, the one who died on the cross for you, will be with you wherever you go. That means in your sufferings. So when you are suffering and you feel like God is so far away, we can look back at this verse and know with 100% certainty that God is with us. God is with you. So keep the faith. Paul tells a young pastor, Timothy, that his time is almost up. And he says, I've run the race well. And I've kept the faith. Can you say that this morning? I want you to ask that question to yourself this morning. Think for just a minute, have I kept the faith? Kept it in a way that's changed my life and the others around me. That faith, that powerful faith, has it impacted others around you? Because that's the faith that's described in the Bible, in God's Word. A powerful faith. A powerful God. It is not easy for us. It's not easy as a Christian. Don't let any preacher, pastor tell you that Christianity is just going to get easy. Because they're out there. And that's far from the truth. If you are acting in the will of God, if you're doing what God has called you to do, it is hard, but it's the biggest blessing in your life. If you could look back and say, what's the biggest blessing in my life? It's going to be the time that you acted in obedience to God's will. That's just the way it's going to be. Because He is your God. He is everyone's God. He is the only God. He is the holy God. The Holy One of God. You can see these verses, especially that one right there. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It can be that same strong tower in your life. That same strong tower that is unshakable, unmovable. You can be that strong tower. Why is this all so important? We're going to look at it at an outward focus just for a minute. Because the people that are lost out there need you to keep the faith. They need you to keep the faith. They need the gospel. So Jimmy's going to talk more about it, and I'm so excited. He's going to do who is your one. Who's your one? And that means who's that person in your life you know is lost and needs the gospel? Who needs salvation? Who needs that very same thing that God's given you? Not by your own works, but by your faith in Christ. Your faith in Christ. That no one should boast. I pray that. I'm so thankful to God that it's by His grace that I'm saved. And not by any works that I could possibly do, because I could never do enough. So keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Because there will be a day in your life where you'll go through the biggest thing. The biggest thing you'll ever face. And I pray that you have the biggest testimony after, because you kept the faith. So as we stand this morning, remember this. That God loves each and every one of you.